From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made last Wednesday night when Rochester residents participated in a community forum about police accountability. Specifically, the forum addressed proposed legislation for a police accountability board drafted by Rochester City Council. If passed, the legislation would create a board that would investigate misconduct complaints against Rochester police officers and then determine how to discipline those officers. Police accountability has been a subject of conversation in Rochester for decades, really. Many activists have called for an independent civilian board, but city leaders in many cases have been opposed to that idea. In December, Mayor Lovely Warren released her proposal for a civilian review board with investigative powers. But according to the mayor, the police union contract and state law require that the police chief maintain the power to discipline officers or not. The city council proposal, which would include a 9-member board, would determine discipline based on a matrix developed by the board in conjunction with the Rochester Police Department and the police union. The RPD chief could impose additional discipline, but cannot reduce or change PAB recommendations. Again, this is a draft proposal, and a main question surrounding these discussions is who should have a role in deciding whether and how police officers are disciplined. This hour, we hear from members of Rochester City Council and the Police Accountability Board Alliance. It's one of several conversations we're going to have on this issue in the weeks to come. And I want to be clear on a number of things here. There's a number of proposals that are out there. There's a lot of different points of view here. We can't do this in 1 hour. I don't know how the nightly television news tried to do it in 90 seconds. It's hard enough. It's very complex. There's a lot going on. But this hour, it's Rochester City Council along with the Alliance. We will certainly always keep the door open for City Hall and the Warren administration if they want to come in for a separate conversation about their proposal. Mike Mazzio, who is the head of the Locust Club, had a conversation with me just earlier this morning. We're going to make sure he comes in on his own occasion to have a conversation about how he views these issues in regards to police conduct. So there's a lot of different points of view. Let's welcome those who are in studio this hour. And I'll start with Tim Macaluso, new staff writer for City Newspaper and one of our new official colleagues. I'm going to say hello to everybody. They don't have to say hi back because there's so many people. We don't have enough microphones for everybody. So Tim is here. We have the president of Rochester City Council. That's Loretta Scott. The vice president of Rochester City Council, Adam McFadden. And a member of Rochester City Council, Willie Joe Lightfoot. On the phone with us is Mitch Gruber, a member of Rochester City Council, and two members of the Executive Committee for the Police Accountability Board Alliance. That's Ted Forsyth and Pastor Wanda Wilson. So all of you, welcome. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to start with my colleague Tim Macaluso, just to kind of get us up to speed here. So Tim, I tried to kind of use your work as part of our outline here, but in terms of where things stand here, there's a number of different proposals and ideas out there. You saw a lot of interest. What, about 100 people was it roughly last Wednesday night? What was the atmosphere like last Wednesday?
Very engaging. I think that people are very interested in the subject. It's been something that's been talked about for quite a while. I think City Council deserves some credit here in terms of taking a pretty bold step. And this comes down to something about fairness and equitability and concerns about whether or not, I think, at the end of the day, police can be should be responsible for governing themselves as it relates to discipline.
Okay. And in terms of the process here, Tim, we've heard a lot of listeners over the months and even in the last couple of days just continue to make sure that different voices are heard. Do you feel like that, at least from what we've seen so far, this is a process of trying to take into account a lot of different points of view?
I think a lot of different voices have been heard. I think that what we were talking about a few moments ago, I don't know that the public is getting a voice from the police department or the police union in full. And I think that's still important. But I do think that between all of the different people that have been involved, there's been a number of different meetings that people can attend, and there's definitely multiple views.
Okay, so let me turn to the president of Rochester City Council, and that is Loretta Scott. And why don't you, if you could, start by taking us through not only the proposal, but why you feel that from what City Hall put out, there are some differences here, and why, for example, the mayor's proposal, council didn't look at and say, yes, let's do that. Why you felt the need to kind of go in the direction that council did. Go ahead.
We've been meeting with the Police Accountability Board Alliance for a number of months, and we've attended a number of community forums, and every month we also hear the testimony of hundreds of residents. We sat trying to address the concerns that were raised therein and recognizing the report that was given to us by the Police Accountability Board Alliance that had some really, really compelling data in it that seemed to sum up those things that had heretofore been sort of strewn around as assumptions and anecdotes, but it put data around it. And it did make it a compelling argument to go forward with a way of beginning to try and address what is a major issue in our community and has been for a number of years.
What's concern one for you that if your proposal, if something as strong as your proposal doesn't go forward, what's your main concern with, say, the status quo, what's been happening in recent years? In terms of accountability, what stands out to you? What's your chief concern?
I one of the most significant concerns is the lack of credibility. Our community does not believe the system that we have in place. So I'm not sure what we can do with the current system to make it more credible without in putting in place some of the pillars that we're working on in this legislation.
Okay. I'll turn to some other members of council. I will also point out that there have been at least some questions publicly about whether the system could change legally. That, in other words, is it the case where the Rochester police chief has to have final say, or can you take that say away? Could he be forced to sort of follow a PAB and not have total discretion? And according to the NYCLU, Iman Abbott, who's also, I think, worked with the Alliance, sent me a note this morning saying it is the official position of the ACLU that there is, that we think it's legal to create a board with direct disciplinary power. That's from the ACLU and the NYCLU. So saying they do think that this proposal, or at least variations of this proposal, are within the law. I'll turn to Adam McFadden next, Vice President of Rochester City Council. Why do you support this proposal specifically, Adam?
Well, I've been working on this issue since 2004. And there are people in this community that have been working on this issue since the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, up until the point that I came. And I can tell you, we took a stab at trying to improve it a few years ago. We did put some provisions in that made it a better system, but it's still not complete in terms of what we need for this community. People have been asking for subpoena power. People have been asking for a disciplinary matrix to make sure that when things happen, that it's not just, you know, brushed under the rug or not communicated to the public. And I think this is really about transparency. I mean, when you look at some of the things that we've had happen in the last 2 or 3 years in terms of incidents, if we hadn't stepped in as the council, no discipline would have been given to officers who did some, what I would say, really bad things on camera. And so that told me that we have a problem, because once we saw what we saw on video on two separate occasions, it was very clear to us that there was a problem. And, you know, the issue I had was other folks saw that tape before we saw it and did nothing. So if that is the case, why would we not put in a system that's better than what we currently have, that will look at these incidents and basically, I guess, look at them accordingly and come to some agreement or findings that would involve discipline, suspension, a firing, or exoneration. I mean, we have to have a clear path to that. And what we have now, to me, is just games.
Why do you think, and I assume we're talking at least in previous police chief administrations, but why do you think there could be something that happened on camera that to your eye is clear misconduct, but to previous administrations, they would look at that and not discipline at all?
I can't speak for my colleagues. I can only speak for myself here. When you allow things to happen and you train people in a certain way and it becomes the way that they actually conduct themselves, it's a standard of policing because you've learned an action or a particular thing over the years, over and over again, to someone else that might seem like it's okay. if that becomes the norm, it may seem okay. But to us, when we saw it, we know that that's not what we're trying to accomplish for our city. And it's not okay. So when you can, you know, break a kid's eye socket, or you can take a guy that's walking down the street minding his own business and accuse him of jaywalking and jump on him to the point that he's begging to be let go, and nobody sees nothing wrong with that. That tells me that we have a problem not only with the system, but the people that we actually hire. That's my point of view. I can't speak for anyone else, but that's how I see that.
Okay. Let me turn to Councilmember Lightfoot and just ask you for your thoughts on why you support this proposal.
I support this proposal, first and foremost, because it's just the right thing to do. Number one, we're elected by the people in this community, and the community overwhelmingly, you have all 9 council members that support this legislation. So obviously, overwhelmingly, the community is in support of this. And I'm looking at it, Evan, from a different perspective of an educational opportunity. I think this is an opportunity not only for us to change our systems, practices, and procedures, but also for us to look at how can we educate our community, because the community really doesn't understand the Taylor Law. They really doesn't understand the CBA agreements with the police department in the city. They don't understand excessive force. What does that mean? What are they able to do? What do you do when you're stopped? I think this creates an opportunity for us to educate each other, an opportunity for the community to know their rights, an opportunity for them to have some input. And how do we create a better police and community relations?
Councilmember Mitch Gruber, why do you support it?
When I first threw my hat in the ring for office in 2017, I had a lot of issues on my mind. This was really not at the forefront. But people like Ted and Wanda and the Police Accountability Board Alliance did an incredible job during that 2017 election of making the PAB an issue that was front and center for us to really grapple with, each and every candidate. We even had a forum dedicated just to this as a concept, and there was a lot of data shared and a lot of stories told. And I think over time, what's become very clear to me is that I'll echo what Vice President McFadden said, there's a greater need for transparency, there's a greater need for trust. And this is just one of the tools that we can use to create more transparency and trust between police and community.
Okay, so there are some perspectives from council. Let me ask both Ted Forsyth and Pastor Wanda Wilson for their thoughts. As members of the Alliance, that I don't want to oversimplify Ted and Wanda, but I think it's fair to say that when you've looked at recent proposals over the last, maybe 18 months plus now, that generally what you've wanted goes further than most of what the proposals have called for. Does that change now? Or how do you feel about what we've seen from City Council? I'll start with Pastor Wanda Wilson. Go ahead.
First, I'd just like to say thank you to City Council, to President Scott, Vice President McFadden, and for Councilman Lightfoot for sitting down with the Alliance and for opening the door and allowing us to come to the table to be a part of the drafting of the legislation. What is on the table now? We are pleased with the legislation, the Alliance is. We are pleased to see that the 5 pillars are there, and specifically the part about discipline. So we think that it's a good draft and a good proposal.
What did you make of what you saw from the mayor's proposal?
We were not pleased with that proposal because it did not have the discipline piece in it.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
In other words, real change needs that discipline piece.
Yes.
Okay. Ted, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I called President Scott the day it came down and thanked her while she was running from one meeting to another. I was actually reviewing it, excuse me, at RIT with some associates, and it's just profound what is being proposed here, because nothing like this exists in the country at this point. And with the mayor's proposal, yeah, it was limited. I know you said it had independent investigative authority, but that was very focused on explicitly excessive use of force only. And it had subpoena power, but again, that can only be utilized in that very limited scope of investigation. It used a matrix. It left all the discretion of discipline up to the chief. So there are some problems with it. We had a press conference about it and raised some issues with it. But yeah.
Sure. And Ted and Pastor Wilson, have you reached out to City Hall to at least understand their point of view? I mean, they're not on this program today. I certainly don't want to speak for the mayor or her administration. But have they told you, look, this is what we think within the law the best we can do, or we disagree with your ideas for X, Y, Z? Do you feel like you understand why that gap between you and the mayor's proposal exists, Ted and Pastor Wilson?
Yeah, I think so. The Warren administration, Corporation Council have very clearly come out opposed to what we've been presenting. You know, it's not about the mayor personally, it's about the policy, and their position is that it's illegal, and our position is it's not illegal. And they've got the NYCLU, and you've got Harris Beach. That council rightly went out and got an alternative, another opinion on the matter, which we do certainly appreciate. I mean, we've had conversations with Mayor Warren.
Okay. Reporter Tim Macaluso, could this be a case where it ends up, you know, sort of needing to be adjudicated in some sort of court system to decide, to at least kind of finally confirm whether the Corporation Council from the City of Rochester is correct, whether City Council is correct, whether the ACLU is correct here?
That's been the thinking for some time now. No one has actually said that they're going to litigate, but there's been fears of that happening or concerns about that happening. And I think President Scott would be better at answering more about that, but it has been something that's been brought up.
Okay, yeah, and President Scott, I certainly assume your council's not going forward with the proposal that you don't think is going to stand up legally. So why do you feel comfortable that this will stand up legally?
Based on the opinions that we've received and the opinions that we've gotten from NYCLU and the local law firm, we think it will. It will be challenged. We expect that. But we believe that it's defensible.
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to listen now to some of the comments from the chief of the leader of the Locust Club, the police union. Mike Mazzeo had a conversation with WXXI News yesterday. And once again, he will be invited to this program at the nearest convenience for him to sit down and respond to all this, because I think, as Tim Macaluso pointed out here, that's an important voice here. There's a lot of different important voices here. So first, let's listen to what he had to say about buy-in. He has said that if there's not buy-in from police officers themselves to any accountability system, it could result in problems with public safety because officers could be hesitant to do their jobs. Let's listen.
They're going to feel that if I take an action, I'm going to be unfairly scrutinized for the action. I could lose my job. If I'm not suspended for an ungodly period of time where I can't make my mortgage payment, I could then lose my job, or I could end up in jail or prison over it. So I'm not going to take this action. If they don't take certain actions, then public safety is going to be affected in the city. There's incidences where we have wanted individuals, that there are wanted packages for their arrest. Our officers have to go out and find them. Sometimes it's as simple as you're driving by and you're aware and you know the individual, or you recognize the individual. We've seen this recently as well, and look what has ensued from that. But take any example. Now the officer says, do I step out of the car and approach that person? What if it leads to some confrontation or action and I lose everything over it? So I'm just going to drive by.
So there's Mike Mazzeo saying that with this proposal, you could have police officers concerned about doing the work. Is that Pastor Wilson I heard responding right away? Go ahead and grab the microphone.
Keep going.
No. We heard the comments. He's worried that the rank and file of Rochester Police under this system will be so concerned about what their actions might be interpreted as that they may not do, or they may feel like they can't do basic work, and that everyone is endangered as a result of that. Pastor Wilson, let me start with you, because it looked like you had a very strong reaction to that. Grab that microphone if you could and get real close to it and tell us what you think.
What I think is they need to do their job. They are called to do a job on the street, and they need to do it. So the fear, this, what we're putting forward is not about instilling fear. As a matter of fact, even with the disciplinary piece of it, it's about creating a fairness and a just system for officers who may feel like there's a fear to doing their job. So I think what Mike Mazzeo is saying is he creating a narrative that is a false narrative.
Okay. Well, let's ask all members of council. I'll start with President Scott on this here. He's worried about public safety. He says you're going to be jeopardizing public safety if officers feel this way. What do you say to that?
I won't attempt to speak to him, but he's worried about change. Because, first of all, this is not an anti-police measure, not at all. I believe that the great majority of officers want to do the right thing. I don't believe that there is a fear of people not doing their work because they'll be somehow arrested or the discipline would be unreasonable. I don't think that's the case. I've gotten calls from officers and even emails about circumstances where they wished that their department would do better in that regard because they want to do good work, but there is a culture that you can't go in a certain direction without stirring up your brethren. I think that efforts such as what we are proposing will help empower the officers who really want to do the right thing. They want to do good work. They want to be guardians as opposed to warriors in the community.
Okay. Vice President Adam McFadden, your thoughts on Mr. Mazzeo's concerns?
I had a lot of thoughts. but I'll say this. For me, this isn't about being anti-police. This is just anti-bad behavior. And so what we're trying to do is just to say, hey, do the job in the way that you're trained. Make sure that the interaction is appropriate with our citizens because we don't want to pay lawsuits. We don't want people hurt. We don't want them hurt. There are a lot of things that can happen because of bad behavior. And I've been around long enough to see both sides of this. So I don't want people to think that we're against police or we think all our police officers are bad. Given what's going on around the country, people want more transparency and they want to make sure that the officers who we hold to a very high standard because we give them the right to enforce the law are held to that standard. Right now, what we have right now is a system that is subject to one person's opinion. And that's not a standard.
Well, if whether it's Mike Mazzeo or anybody else, if they came back and said, look, why can't we do that today? Why do we need a PAB? Why can't if an officer truly does something wrong, they could face consequences and they already know that. No?
I would say that's a question mark. Depending on who the chief is, depending on who the commanding officer might be, even depending on who that officer who has the infraction might be. It's a question mark. It should not be a question mark. And that's all we're saying. It shouldn't be a question mark.
Can I also ask you, Adam, on a past program, you said, and I don't want to misquote you, but you made the remark that you get a little fatigued of hearing people talk about policing, not that you don't respect it, but as, well, that's a hard job. That's a dangerous. You said there's lots of hard and dangerous jobs.
Yes.
Is that fair that you kind of get fatigued with it?
Yes.
Do you feel the same level of fatigue in hearing someone say, well, they're going to be scared if they do something wrong, they'll get in trouble, when everybody probably feels
yes.
like if they're going to...
I'm a guy that grew up, you know, in a tough neighborhood. And to me, that's cowardly talk. That's just me. I don't fear anybody. I don't have an act of fear that way. So when I hear someone say, I might be scared to do my job, then you might not want to be on our police department, if that's what you feel. If you have that real legitimate fear that doing your job could cause something else to happen, you probably shouldn't be working for us.
It sounds to me like the fear is in the course of doing what is regular police work, which might occasionally look rough, difficult, challenging, confrontational, that regular work could lead someone losing their career or reputation.
I try to be fair. And I understand that there are going to be difficult situations that cause us to have to use force. There are going to be those situations. So I'm fair in my thinking to think, hey, sometimes that's going to be necessary. But what we're saying, in the cases that we've seen, some of them that have played out on video, where it wasn't necessary, and actually we were the ones who instigated the interaction and leveled the interaction up to it being physical, that's inappropriate. And so for me, it's not about looking at our men and women who are on the job and looking at them all in a bad light. This is about particular actions that basically causes us to lose lawsuits, citizens to get hurt, and disrupt the relationship that we need the community and the police department to actively have. Why would anybody trust a department if we can't put accountability in place to say, okay, you know, when things happen, there's a mechanism that people have to say, okay, I didn't like this interaction, or something happened inappropriate. If you want a real relationship between a community, you would have this in place. We've been talking about for years the disruption between police and community relations. Has anyone else put anything on the table to talk about how to improve it? Not really. Not really. And the reason why that is because people don't feel like police are held to that higher standard that they should be.
Councilmember Lightfoot, how do you feel about what you heard from Mr. Mazzio?
I might not be the right guy to be asking this question. Yeah, I know I'm animated, man. Evan, it depends on who you ask this question to and what lens you're looking from. From the Jefferson Avenue lens, from my barbershop, some would argue that that's already happening, that police are already driving by. You understand? So it depends on what lens you're looking from. You know, when you have all these uninterrupted drug markets, people would argue that that's already happening. So how is this proposal going to change what's already happening? So, you know, I may just be looking at it from a different lens, but I would hope that if you have an equitable process, that should be accepted by all parties, both the police and the community. And at the end of the day, if you're not breaking the law and you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to worry about?
Councilmember Mitch Gruber, what do you say to Mr. Mazzio's comments?
Before I answer, I just want to make a plug, and I'm hopefully we do it a couple more times before the hour ends, that we have our third and final of the public forums tomorrow night, Thursday, at City Hall from 5:30 to 7. So I hope that as many of your listeners and viewers as want to come join us and have this conversation. My answer to Mr. Mazzio is quite simple.
And it's really not much different from what you've heard from my colleagues. This is not an anti-police measure. One of the first things I did when I got elected was did a ride along with a couple of officers in the Genesee section about this time last year. And I left that ride along having nothing but profound respect for the work that RPD does. The issue is that the good cops are oftentimes being overshadowed by negative actions that are not being punished or not being scrutinized. And the whole purpose of this legislation is to put some transparency into that so that we can all collectively as a community say, look, when someone does something wrong, we will make sure that it gets taken care of. And hopefully the byproduct of that is having RPD that is trusted by the community.
All right, let me get a phone call on this subject. In Penfield, this is Ingrid on the phone responding to some of what she heard from Mike Mazzio. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Thanks. I want to say that you know how they say that the solution to a problem is always going to be found hidden in the request or the question. When I heard Mr. Mazzio speak, I suddenly understood what you were saying, what somebody was saying about trust. He's not trusting his own officers, and he should. There are so many excellent cops, and those are the ones we need to focus on. He doesn't need to worry. The ones who are doing something wrong and are going to be frightened to have a confrontation because they might get in trouble, those people do need to be either weeded out or taught to do a little bit better. And the good cops are the ones who want that more than any of us. And we can do that for them. We really do need this proposal to go through. Thanks.
Thank you, Ingrid, for the phone call. Well, I'm going to allow Mr. Mazzio plenty of time to respond to all this on a future program. We hope to do that within days here on Connections. President Scott, and perhaps after that conversation, as we continue to either we see this roll out legally or there's challenges, come back with Mike Mazzeo in the future. We'll all sit down together. I'll make you all coffee. How's that sound?
Sounds like a bargain.
Does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a yes from President Scott. Can I ask you very seriously? Mm-hmm. He did express to me some concern that he doesn't feel council has been as accessible to him in the Locust Club, that he has not been able to always get his voice heard, and that he's got some real concerns with the way council has done business on this. How do you feel about that?
Well, I regret that he feels that way, and frankly, I'm puzzled as to how he arrived at that. He has attempted to set up meetings, and we have complied. We've had our staff to convening a meeting with council is like herding cats. We've all got really, really awful schedules, right? So we have this one person in particular that helps us to organize that. I have a stack of emails that's almost an inch thick from where she was writing to all of us, trying to get the dates. We got the dates. The date would change, and Mr. Mazzeo would say, well, I'd rather meet with this group and not that group, or I'd rather meet at my place and not your place, and all of this. And it went on for several weeks until, I believe it was October 18th, we actually just canceled. But there was an effort and a genuine willingness to meet with him.
Okay. So let's leave that there. Again, I want listeners to know we're going to leave the door open for the Warren administration, the mayor, and her team to join us to talk about this separately if they'd like, Mike Mazzeo. And then the goal is always to get everyone together going forward. So we'll see what we can do.
I would like
go ahead,
just
Adam.
To make a
sure.
point. The council has done its due diligence. We really are going about this the right way. We're meeting with the community. We're talking to stakeholders. We have not closed the door on anybody. We didn't just drop a proposal out of the sky and just say, hey, this is what it is. We did our due diligence. And that's the difference between our proposal and the mayor's proposal or anybody else's proposal, is the fact that even when we came up with draft legislation, we took a beating from the Alliance about the draft. For us, it was just a starting point. And we had some very difficult discussions about the legislation and policies that we wanted to put in place. We were willing to do all of that work to get to this point where we are today. And so to go backwards or to say we weren't willing to do anything, or I can tell you, I think people think we just accepted the proposal on the first day and then boom, it, you know, magically appeared. It was not that at all.
That's right. And I would actually even just add on to that, just so the listeners can understand that the six of us, including the council members on this show, Pastor Wanda, Ted, and a group of about 10 other folks ranging from the NYCLU, UCLM, so on and so forth, met on probably every 2 or 3 week basis for hours at a time, poring over this stuff and being very, very deliberate about what we were doing.
Okay, so let's do this. I've got some more feedback to read from some listeners who have some questions for members of council and our guests here as we talk about Rochester City Council's proposal regarding a police accountability board. We're going to get your feedback in next here. And if you're just joining us, their proposal is not a done deal yet. And in fact, Mitch Gruber, why don't you tell us at least for the second time this hour, the next time the public can weigh in and hear more. Go ahead, Mitch.
Tomorrow, Thursday the 31st, at City Hall. I believe it's in the City Council chambers. Is that correct, President Scott?
Yep. They're saying City Council chambers.
From 5:30 to 7.
Oh, I'm sorry, the atrium. Yep, in the atrium. From 5 to 7 tomorrow. So there you go. 5:30. You're hearing Mitch Gruber, member of Rochester City Council. Willie Lightfoot's here as well. Adam McFadden, Vice President of Council. Loretta Scott, President of Rochester City Council. Two members of the Executive Committee for the Police Accountability Board Alliance. That's Pastor Wanda Wilson and Ted Forsyth are also here. And Tim Macaluso, who has done such a sterling job reporting on this for City Newspaper. Our colleague is here with us in studio. Let's get that break and we'll get your feedback next. Coming up in our second hour, a conversation with two people who live in a way that it aims to be sustainable, not just sometimes, not just in the car they drive or the fact that they compost at home, but every hour of every day, every trip to a store, every vacation, thoughtful planning to be sustainable, and how to change cultures. A conversation about real sustainability next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Todd wants to know, why isn't City Council the PAB? Do they abdicate their authority or do they have none without this legislation. So Todd's saying, President Scott, isn't City Council the Police Accountability Board? Don't you have that power already? Do you need this? What would you say to Todd? Again, there's a lot of education in the community about processes here. So what do you say to Todd?
Presently, we are the only ones who have subpoena power. However, we have a civilian review board that operates doing what we want to see with the PAB, but at a greater level. Our job is beyond this. It's beyond just police accountability. And it is a very time-consuming, very demanding, and very important set of activities that we need people who are trained. And I want to point that out. People won't just be sitting down making decisions. Mm-hmm. They are trained and committed to looking at the evidence and coming up with disciplinary approaches.
Okay. And let me ask Ted and Wanda from the Alliance here what you would also say to Todd regarding how you view the subpoena power that currently exists versus the what a PAB would be under this proposal. Ted?
So currently with the Civilian Review Board, as I understand it, to get to subpoena power, the three-member panel of the board reviewing a complaint would have to go through multiple levels. They have to go through, if they weren't satisfied with the investigation done, they'd have to go send a letter to PSS, the lieutenant, and ask them to redo the investigation. If they weren't satisfied with that, they'd have to send a letter to the chief of police. If they weren't satisfied with that investigation, they had to send a letter to the mayor's office. If after the mayor conducted an investigation, they still weren't happy, then they'd have to go to city council, and council would have to vote on whether or not to pick up that, and this is through the CRB process, whether or not to pick up that complaint. And then if they vote to take it on, then they could use their subpoena power. So there's like multiple levels, multiple barriers to even getting there. And in our conversations with PSS, they say that that's maybe happened, 1 to 2% of the time over like the last 10 years, getting just to PSS. So, the system seems very concerning because it doesn't actually offer true accountability, and the process takes so long to get to that level where an actual subpoena can be issued to do an investigation is not adequate for people that have complaints of misconduct.
Okay, and reporter Tim Macaluso, I think Todd's question is just indicative of, I think it was a very fair question, because I think people generally speaking don't understand the review process in place regarding police officers. Frankly, as a reporter and a journalist myself, and my guess is you've had to, there's always a lot to learn with these processes.
This reminds me a lot. I've had this theory that we're going through this period of time and just culturally all across the country where all of our institutions are being challenged. And we saw it with teachers about 6 years ago. There was the whole emphasis on evaluations of teachers and are teachers competent. And some of that is probably accurate and some of it isn't. But I wonder if there is, if we're doing the same thing with our police officers at this point in time. And I was wondering if Adam could explain, is it possible to... there's often the phrase saying that it's very difficult to get rid of or to terminate an ineffective teacher. Is that the same case with police officers? Is there an evaluation system that can move them out?
I'll say this. Internally, the police have their own system or mechanism for doing that. The council has no role currently in that. So just from that standpoint, we're not the police accountability board because we can't initiate discipline. We can complain about somebody and the public can complain like anyone else. And so there's no formal role for us. At the most, we have the authority to fire a city employee like the chief if they didn't do what we wanted them to do. But, the chief is really hired by the mayor and confirmed by us. So we wouldn't do that. So for us, we don't have a formal role to play other than the fact that when we start getting calls from folks, we have the ability to pull documents. We can issue a subpoena. We can look at things on our own and then pull people in a room and say, okay, what are you going to do? That's really what we have today.
And I think it sounds to me, Adam, just if you really want to distill these varying proposals, there's a school of thought that says without the disciplinary power, it's toothless.
Agreed. That's right.
Fair enough? Okay.
Yes.
And so that's one of the... And then the next question is, does the law allow for disciplinary power? The ACLU says yes. The Alliance says yes. City Council is saying yes. The Warren administration so far has said no, and we will see going forward. But it's a lot of it's about having that disciplinary power. Here's Dan, who writes to the program and says, thank you for continuing to cover the PAB. I was one of the 100-plus people in the public forum on Monday night, and I sat at the table that was discussing the board's composition. And he says, the woman seated to my right made, in my opinion, the most critical point of our table's meeting. She drew attention to Section 18.4, Item D of the Council Plan, which reads the following, quote, members of the board shall reflect the city's diverse community, including, but not limited to, age, race, creed, color, national origin, gender, gender identity or expression, sexual orientation, disability, marital status, and source of income. She astutely pointed out that Rochester has many residents, perhaps even a slim majority, whose economic situations would prohibit them from accepting an unpaid part-time job, and therefore, in order to fulfill the board's stated commitment to reflecting the city's community, the members of the PAB would have to be compensated in some way. Please include her suggestion in your discussion today, as she was unarguably correct in pointing this out, he says. So this is Dan. So do we need to compensate or pay members of the PAB? And are there the resources to do that? President Loretta Scott.
I would object to that simply because the work of the PAB, just as the work of the Civil Service Commission and the Planning Board and the Zoning Board, is such that it requires the participation of people who are doing the work because they are volunteers who are doing the work, not because they're being paid for that. And it brings up a number of other questions and doubts that those may have about who's getting paid and why this one is on the board. I recognize that the desire for diversity on the board, it's far-reaching. And the fact is, given that there's only 9 members, we couldn't cover all of those topics, those areas. But what it reflects is a desire to do so and a desire to have a diverse mix.
Okay. Any other comments from council? Agree to screen? No? Okay. So let me also ask Ted and Wanda if you agree with either the email or what you heard from President Scott there. Are you in favor, Ted, Pastor Wilson, when it comes to compensating members of the PAB? Would you like to see that? They're looking at each other like, who wants to take this?
I think that as the public becomes more familiar with the legislation, more of these concerns and questions are going to rise. And it's incumbent on the Alliance and perhaps City Council and people working on this issue to discuss those concerns in earnest. I will say this, in the original presentation that we gave President Scott and the rest of Council in May of 2017, our proposal did actually include language about compensating board members. And that came directly out of Syracuse, where I think they set up a stipend system. And if a board member wanted to take that stipend, they were able to. But it was not required that they all get paid. It was just if you needed to take the stipend, you could. So it's not like it's unheard of or not that it's not out there. And I would certainly not be an expert in budgetary processes of the city of Rochester. So I'm not going to speak on whether the funding can be found. But I think it's a valid concern and needs to be considered.
Okay. William emails the program and appreciates the discussion, but he was bothered by the fact that members of City Council were, I think, in response to some of what we've heard from Mike Mazzeo in his recorded comments, there was some lighter moments. Here's what William writes. Says, I'm emailing to say that one of the things that bothers me is that when the panel collectively laughs at someone's statement or question that they don't agree with, I can understand maybe it's a really silly statement, but it's extremely disrespectful. And in this particular case, I can't imagine it going over well. For example, he says, if a white conservative panel laughed at a black liberal question or a statement that was extremely reasonable. So he wants everyone to be more respectful to everyone else, including Mike Mazzeo, the Locust Club, etc.
I guess his tweet about my colleagues yesterday was respectable.
Do you want to
I'm just saying. Mike Mazzeo tweeted about Mitch Gruber and Willie yesterday. I guess that was seen as respectable. Did you take that as respectable, Willie?
Not at all.
I understand what the listener is saying because they don't know the conversations that have happened amongst all of us, And for me, when I heard the language that Mike used, and I like Mike, we have a great relationship. We actually talk. I know what he's trying to do, and I know what he's trying to drum up with his supporters. So my chuckle at that is not so much a play on disrespect, but I know what you're attempting to accomplish by the language that you're using.
So you're saying you see through something?
Yes, absolutely.
From your perspective?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So it wasn't meant as disrespect. It was kind of like gamesmanship. I know what you're trying to do.
I would hope, too, that the listener who talked about a panel. I don't know of a city council panel that laughed at any comment that was made. We're very careful about the way that we interact with the citizens, and we're very respectful on that level.
Okay. So let me then follow that up a little bit and ask, I think the president of city council, the vice president of city council, what we will have, if your proposal goes through, is a significant change. And where Mike Mazzeo at least is making an important point, even if you disagree with his concern about officers viewing their day-to-day actions as potentially grounds for their dismissal, even if you think that's too far, I think it's fair to say you want police to buy in, you want the community to buy in, everyone wants a better relationship among members of police and members of the community, and with this new PAB, Adam, I'll start with you. You've talked a lot about this on this program and elsewhere. Is it going to be easier or more difficult to achieve that, and what's the path forward to improving those relationships now?
I think it's a start at improving the relationship. I really do. And this whole buy-in and not buy-in thing, if we're paying you, I expect you to buy in. I'm just that cut forward. When you go to work at any job, you have to, you know, look at the mission statement, the vision statement, and you buy in. Whether or not you might agree or not agree, but the moment you take a check and sign your name on that contract or employment documentation, you buy into the culture of that organization. We are responsible for defining what the culture of the city of Rochester is. That's not up for discussion in terms of whether or not you like it or not. You could always choose not to work for us. If we want a positive relationship between the citizens and our police department, between the citizens and anybody that works for the city of Rochester, there's nothing wrong with that. And every employee should buy into that fact that we want a positive relationship with our citizens. I have, as an elected official, I have to take a beating from folks and smile and take it, because that's part of the job. There are times where I think to myself that, hey, it's not worth it. But I signed up to do this job. It comes with it. And a lot of times it's not personal. People are passionate about an issue or a stance or legislation. And so I try not to look at it as a reflection of what they think about me personally. We expect anybody that works for the city of Rochester to buy in to the fact that we want a positive relationship with all of our employees and the citizens we serve, period. If you can't do that, don't work for us.
All right. Lastly, for council, the Locust Club has said this process has felt rushed to them. Do you feel that this has been rushed?
I would say that it's been, myself was pushing our president to kind of move a little forward, because we felt like, you know, we were taking too long. I mean, this has been well over a year. And how about 50 years or 40 years? Is 40 years rushed? Because they've been trying to do this for over 40 years. So I think that that's contrary to what people are saying. And what I would also say to folks is there's a bigger underlying picture here, and that's police and community relations is really the bigger issue that I think we all can agree that we want. So how about, you know, this thing could potentially go into court, as has been mentioned. So, and then we're still going to have this police and community relation. So I would say to Mazzeo and individuals who may take that side is that let's my table, I'm chair of public safety. I have yet to been reached out to have a conversation with how can we build police and community relations. I think that's a bigger conversation that we should be having, and my door is open, and I'm willing to start and have that conversation. Regardless of what happens with this legislation, we still need to have that conversation. So I send out an open invitation to Mazzeo. Let's start having the bigger conversation of building police and community relations.
All right, 30 seconds. Mitch Gruber,
one of the other
in your first year. Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, one of the things that's in the legislation, too, one of the five pillars is giving the PAB an opportunity to recommend some training, some looking at policies and procedures. The idea of discipline, where this whole conversation has gotten stuck on, is only one of many key points to this. And it's really all about using this as a key tool, this board, to fix police-community relations. And I think there's a lot in there. And I think that what so far we've heard from the Locust Club has been focused solely on the discipline piece.
Okay, and there's a lot more to explore on this going forward. I promise you that. And we will do that with various stakeholders and members of Rochester City Council. Apparently, we're all getting together for coffee, and we're going to make it happen. Everyone's going to come together, and we're going to talk. I appreciate everyone being here today. Mitch Gruber, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Mitch is a member of Rochester City Council, also from Council. Councilmember Lightfoot, thank you very much. Always nice to see you. Our thanks to Adam McFadden, the Vice President of Rochester City Council, and President of Rochester City Council, Loretta Scott. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate your availability in this and continued discussions. From the Alliance, I want to thank Pastor Wanda Wilson and Ted Forsyth, the Police Accountability Board Alliance. Thanks to both of you for your perspectives this hour. Thank you. And Tim Macaluso from City Newspaper. Outstanding work, and you know where to find Tim and his colleagues there.
Thank you, Tim.
Short break, and we're coming right back, but I want to say one more time, this is the first of many more conversations about this subject, and we will not stop here on Connections.